Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi. Covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad, along with Robbie Falk from 24/7 Sports, give you an inside look at the Bulldogs on the field, the court, and the diamond. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a, Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm. or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all of you guys, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. We learned a lot about our listeners yesterday on Spotify Unwrap Day. I saw a lot of you guys out there. We give a shout out to, is it Chandler Knight, Robbie? We have to give him a special shout out. Mississippi State fan who listened to 9,545 minutes of Thunder and Lightning last year. There were only 9,546 minutes to listen to. He skipped 60 seconds of our podcast in 2022.
He must have got to that argument that we had.
That's what he said. He said, I got a little ahead of that.
He listened to everything until he's finally like, I can't do this anymore. I can't handle this.
Robbie is just too harsh on Hey Dad, and I can't listen to it anymore.
He couldn't take me spanking you around.
So all you guys who sent us your Spotify raps, we appreciate that. We appreciate you guys tuning in. It's been a great year for us on Thunder and Lightning, and it's because of y'all. You know, we just talk. We can't make y'all listen. So we appreciate you catching up with us each and every morning. We want to thank our sponsors at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way. The trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, a little odd if Brupolo was in Snow Lake Shores.
What?
Yeah.
Snow Lake Shores?
Yeah.
Is there an island in Mississippi that I didn't know about?
No, there's not. There's not. It's one of the newest towns in the state of Mississippi.
It's a new development.
Incorporated. Let me get it right here. Where did it go?
It's in DeSoto County.
July 15th, 1996. It is not. It is in Benton County.
In the Delta.
Yeah, 319 people strong.
I didn't know there was any shores in the Delta.
The river's there.
We'll have to ask our friend Ben Beckwith about that.
Yeah, we need to ask Ben about Snow Lake Shore. We may have to tweet at him and be like, "Oh, tell us about Snow Lake Shores."
Yeah.
So that's, he can be like, "That's where the rich people in Benton."
Right. Yeah. That's where Ben Beckwith's living.
Well, if wherever you live in Benton County, if you're living in Snow Lake Shores and you got that money to spend, spend it with Strange Brew Coffeehouse and have the best coffee every morning. Enjoy it at your leisure when you go to strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. They'll ship it right to you. This holiday season, if you've got a coffee lover in the house, you've got to get them some Strange Brew coffee. Also, this holiday season, you need new maroon and white merchandise. Time to go out with the old, in with the new. And the place to do that is at College Corner. CollegeCornerStore.com is where you shop online. College Corner in Ridgeland is by Fleet Feet and Flowood by the Half Shell. Two locations to serve you there in the Jackson area. Whatever you're looking for, maroon and white, they've got you covered at College Corner. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant, the best. What is today? Today is Wednesday as we record, which means tomorrow is a day we could go to restaurant. We could go to Restaurant Tyler tomorrow. We could do that. We could go get a blue plate tomorrow.
We absolutely could do that.
We should do that.
I'm down.
All right, he's in. All right, we just made it happen. See how it works? That's how you negotiate. You don't waste time.
It doesn't take much to negotiate
I didn't have to twist anybody's arm.
Nobody's got to hold a gun to our head to get us to go to Restaurant Tyler.
And of course, this holiday season, if you want to really enjoy the holiday spirit, head over to Miracle Under Main at the Guest Room, a winter wonderland in Starkville's best-kept secret. A great place to take the loved ones this holiday season is Miracle Under Main at the Guest Room. Firehouse Subs for lunch today? Absolutely. Great choice. You did a good job. You downloaded the Firehouse Subs app. You place your order. It's ready within minutes. You pick up your sandwich and a bunch of reward points ready to go. This holiday season, you want to bring something a little different to the party? A Firehouse Subs platter is also a fantastic choice. Call your local Firehouse Subs for more information. Locations in Starkville and Oxford, Columbus and Tupelo, Flowood and Madison. That is Firehouse Subs. All right, great show.
Enjoyed it.
That was fun. Nothing to talk about these weeks now. My point is true. There really isn't a whole ton to talk about in this space between the Egg Bowl and I guess going into signing day. So you got to create your own content. So I've done it. That's what we're going to do today. We are going to talk about 2023. I always talk about Mississippi State in these terms, right? I always talk about in a 5-year span, a 5-year cycle. You should have 1 year where you're up, 1 year where things break in your favor. You've got a veteran team, you've got a comfortable schedule, and you have a legitimate chance to win 9 or 10 games. That year was 2018 for Mississippi State. Everything was set up for the Bulldogs to easily win 10 games that year. Didn't happen because they had the wrong guy at the helm. I think now State has the guy at the helm who can do that. He can win 10 games. Let's talk about how they get there. Let's start with that schedule, Robbie. First and foremost, for the first time, and I don't remember the last time, and it may never have happened, but Mississippi State with 8 home games in 2023, and you get the cream of the crop home games for the SEC. You have the LSU, Alabama, Ole Miss trio at home, along with Kentucky, which means your road games are your toss-up games, the games that year in and year out you feel like you're in, A&M, Arkansas, Auburn. And then you add to that South Carolina. That's another game where you feel like you're in. As SEC schedules go, Robbie, this is about as good as Mississippi State could hope for.
Yeah, I like the schedule. You have the home games. You play your toughest teams at home. I think that the SEC East team that you add on the road could be difficult. South Carolina, that's a tough place to play.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to recruit really well. Who knows what Spencer Rattler is going to do? And you know, I don't really know what to think about him because he's been really good the last couple of games. But it's hard to erase what he's done or not done, I guess, the rest of the season. But that's a tough game. But getting LSU at home early, I think, is big. Alabama, I still don't know if State's going to be able to get over that hump against Alabama, but that's not a team at this stage that's scaring people like they used to.
Mm-hmm.
So you get them at home, that's big. And then, I mean, you look at the rest of the schedule, pretty much every single home game is very winnable for Mississippi State outside of Alabama. And on the road, I mean, you can win any game on the road, but there's some tough challenges there. Auburn, we don't know what they're going to look like with Hugh Freeze in year one. Texas A&M. Who knows what they look like? Arkansas, same thing. But it's a schedule that I look at and just blindly looking at the schedule, scanning through, I see nine wins
mm-hmm.
in the regular season potentially. So, I mean, it's obviously with what you have coming back, you have to feel good about the season being the season that is Mike Leach's best since he's been at Mississippi State. Very comparable to that year 4, I guess, with him at Washington State,
mm-hmm.
maybe. And this has a chance to be a really good season for the Bulldogs, I think.
Let's look at the schedule week by week. You know, it starts off with 3 straight home games, and then, you know, just with only 4 road games, you know, it's broken up pretty nicely. Southeast Louisiana to start, so you should start off 1-0, got an FCS team coming in, and then you bring in Arizona for that rematch. Arizona's a team that obviously got a lot better, you know, as the year went on. They're much improved from 2 years ago when they were a one-win team. Jed Finch, I think, has that program going in the right direction. But at the end of the day, SEC team at home, you like State's chances there. And then you mentioned it, getting LSU super early. I think that's the best time to play LSU. They are a team that, last weekend's result aside, they are a team that year in, year out, they tend to get better as the season goes along. You want to catch them kind of early, getting them at home when you should be 2-0. Should be a big crowd, depending on the time, obviously. If it's an 11 a.m. game, maybe not. But
surely that's not going to be an 11 a.m.
Well, I mean, I don't know what the SEC schedule is going to be for that day. We play this game.
What's LSU? Let's see what they would have done at that point.
I think they probably got a couple of easy ones. But we make this comment every year, but that shouldn't be an 11 a.m. Every year, good games go to 11 a.m. I mean, this is the way it is.
Yeah. That's not. They play in Florida State again?
Yeah, they're playing them in Florida, I think.
Oh, that's so weird. So they should be 2-0 coming into that game. That should be a matchup of two 2-0 teams that are in the top 25.
Yeah.
I'm thinking 6 p.m. ESPN. Like you said, I don't know what the other games are.
But let's do that right now. Let's have a little fun. So looking around the conference, September 16th, Alabama. This can't be right. What I'm seeing for Alabama, it simply can't be. They're at South Florida.
Really?
There's no way Alabama is traveling to South Florida.
Well, they
There's
went to
no
Duke.
No way you can make me believe that's accurate.
They went to Duke.
No, they didn't. They played them in Atlanta.
I thought they played them at Duke.
No, they played them in one of those kickoff classics.
No. They played them at Duke.
When?
A few years ago.
All right. Now we're really doing some work here.
I'm almost 100% positive they played at Duke.
You're not. Hold on. That's 2019. That game was in Atlanta.
It was back. It was back before then.
Let's see here.
Like, I'm pretty sure it's been a while.
They have played them three times. It was 2010.
At Duke?
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Like that.
All right. So I get that, but that was that's before the SEC network. There's no way I believe they're playing at South Florida. That's got to be a mistake. Anyway, getting back to the point. Arkansas BYU is that day. That's got some potential for TV. Auburn Samford, bleh. Florida Tennessee. There's your 2:30 game. Georgia, South Carolina. It's getting iffy here, Robbie. Kentucky and Akron fighting Jomos. We know where LSU is. Missouri, Kansas State. That'll be that could be 11 a.m.
That's 11 a.m. I think it's going to be
Georgia Tech is a game that Ole Miss Georgia Tech will be 6 o'clock.
6:30
SEC Network.
I think it's going to be ESPN.
A&M, UL Monroe, no good. Vanderbilt at Wake Forest. That'll be on the ACC Network. Yeah, you got a chance. Got a chance to be the night game there.
Got a chance.
Yeah, got a chance. Anyway, getting back to the MSU schedule in total here. Then you're at South Carolina, then back-to-back home games, Alabama, and then Western Michigan. At Fayetteville, at Auburn. So that's your only two back-to-back road games of the year.
Ooh, that's tough, back-to-back.
That's tough, back-to-back, no question. Where's the bye week? It's between Western Michigan and Arkansas. So you get the bye week before you go on the road. That's good. Kentucky at home.
Does KJ Jefferson, is he back?
No.
You think he's gone?
I think he's gone, yeah. He was
he's same age. He's same class as Garrett Schrader, I think.
He's a year. No, I guess you're right. Did he play as a true freshman at Arkansas?
He played sparingly. He's played sparingly.
What a waste. This is his fourth year. I don't know. He's got somebody will draft him, won't they?
You would think. I mean, he might come back just.
Somebody's
going to
draft Will Levis with the 14th pick. Surely somebody will draft KJ Jefferson with the 100th.
I just don't understand I was reading PFF's thought process on Will Levis, and they said he's got all the tools. He's like, they basically said he was a can't miss prospect. Nobody ever talks about any of his flaws.
Right.
That's the weirdest thing to me.
Yeah.
All right. Jefferson is a redshirt junior.
So he did redshirt.
He redshirted in 19. He played in three games in 19.
Oh, that's right. You can play in. Yeah, that's right. I forgot. Okay, so 19, could 20, come 21, out. 22. He could come out.
I bet he stays.
You think?
Yeah. But that their defense was bad this year. The defense was really bad.
It might depend on what Briles does, too. If Briles leaves, he might go.
I'm guessing they're going to lose Rocket Sanders.
Mm-hmm. They've had some guys in the transfer portal, too. So
he's a sophomore. He'll be back.
Yeah, we'll see. Anyway, and then they finish up the year, Mississippi State, at Kentucky at home in November 4th, at A&M. And then it's never happened before, to my knowledge. If it happened before, it's been back in the 40s or 50s. But USM and then Ole Miss at home, back-to-back weekends, which is cool.
It is cool.
And honestly, Southern fans will take this as a slight, and they'll just have to get over it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you're playing a group of five team the week before you play Ole Miss. That's what you want to do. You want that. So that's the schedule for State. I mean, right here, if you said, Brian, make the picks, okay. 1-0, 2-0, I'll say 2-1, 3-1, 3-2, 4-2, 5-2, 6-2, 7-2. A&M will be the one they drop. They shouldn't. 7-3, 8-3, 9-3.
That's what I'm saying too.
Yeah. And because I'm just going to pick one that they shouldn't drop that they will, because that's the Mike Leach way. What's the I one that they should have won that they didn't in that
like
case?
Like they'll win 1 of 2, I think, against Arkansas and Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll win. You think they'll win both?
I look at it in terms of the three games. I always put them together with A&M. And like, can you go on? Because they went undefeated in that this year and 2-1 last year. They can go 2-1 again.
Yeah. A&M has struggled to defend the air raid for whatever reason. State's had a lot of success against it. Auburn, I just don't know about Auburn because I don't know what they're going to have. They're losing a ton of people. I don't know what Robbie Ashford is going to be as a quarterback. You know, they're breaking in a first-year head coach with them. What's their defense look like? I don't know. And then Arkansas, I thought they regressed this year. I don't know what they're going to look like either. I think they're going to beat Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Kentucky's going to be very good.
They weren't very good this year.
No, and they're losing their
first round draft choice at quarterback. So yeah,
and so, Kentucky's not good on the road. So
you have that schedule, which is it's as generous a schedule as you can possibly hope for when you're a team like Mississippi State, right? You got winnable games up and down the schedule. There's only one game. There's absolutely only one game on the schedule you would circle and say not a win. And that's Alabama, right?
Yes.
Yeah, LSU, you've played them so close over the last decade. You've won a few times. You can count that as a game that you're going to be in. I mean, LSU will be favored, but you're going to be in that game.
It's at home.
So you have that working for you. So, and then when you look at what you bring back, well, let's start on the offensive side of the ball. Okay, how many here's the number of players that were starters this year that won't be back. LaQuinston Sharp, and I'm done.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty much it, right?
Entire offensive line is back.
Mm-hmm. 4 out of 5.
Starting quarterback is back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know yet on the running back situation. I've heard some mixed things. I've heard that one running back could go pro. I don't expect Mississippi State's going to lose both of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard that there might be a guy that wants to go pro. I don't think that's entirely a great decision, but that's not.
Are you going to tell us who it is?
No, I'm not going to put it out there yet. But it's one of the two starters. I think there's a possibility.
The fact that you're not putting it out there makes me.
I don't
think
want
it's,
to.
Well, no, hold on.
It's still there's still some things being talked about.
Let me finish. I think it's the guy. I think it's the guy that you would not expect it to be.
Could be.
Okay, there you go. Very very diplomatic. Continue on though, Rob.
But. You never know with the transfer portal what's going to happen at wide receiver. So I don't know what they're going to have coming back. But if everything holds chalk, I mean, they got everybody back except for Caleb Ducking.
Right.
And you're replacing Caleb Ducking with who? Justin Robinson?
That's where I was going to go. I think we're going to see a position change this offseason. I think you've got to put Tulu Griffin into the slot.
You've got to do your – oh, Austin Williams, too, is gone as well.
But that's where Tulu Griffin goes.
Yeah. So – I think you put your best guys on the field. I think you put Ra-Ra Thomas on the outside, Justin Robinson on the outside, Jaden Wally, Tulu Griffin, Xavion Thomas, those guys in the middle, and see what happens.
Did y'all hear who he missed? Did you hear who Robbie Fault
Jaden Wally
say? Did you hear who Robbie Fault
Rufus?
Rufus Harvey.
Rufus is the lead in there receiver. Too. Rufus is in there, too. I'm sorry. How could I forget Rufus? That's
I would think boy. Rufus and Tulu are your starting slot guys, to be totally honest with you.
Yes. And then you have behind them Jaden Wally, Xavion Thomas. I mean,
Xavion Thomas is another one who needs to come inside.
It just makes sense to put those guys in the middle. Justin Robinson, Ra-Ra Thomas, whoever else on the outside. And
Marquez roll with Dortch can be an outside guy.
He could. So – I'm trying to think what other wide receiver. I mean, they have a ton of wide receivers.
Who is the kid from last year? Caden Pope could be an outside guy. if they want to go that route. The guy they're bringing in, Justin Brown and Nakai Poole, will both be outside guys, I think. So, I mean,
crowded at wide receiver.
It is crowded. But, I mean, when you run four wides 95% of your snaps, that's just going to be crowded. You got to have 12, 13 guys there. That's just how it goes. It would be easier. State could make it easier on themselves if they weren't so locked into you're an H and you're a Y and you're an X and you're a Z. And it's just like, let's just let the wide receivers get out there and find, you know, spots. But that just kind of is what it is. Having four of your five offensive linemen back is the biggest key to all of this, though, right?
Yes. You need that continuity up front. Got to protect. You've made some headway as far as the running game is concerned this year. They've really taken a step forward. And I think the offensive line has been a big part of that because they've opened up holes for Marks and Dylan Johnson. And they protected – I think they protected Will really well. Most of the sacks that they've given up this year have been, you know, coverage sacks, Will holding on the football too long. I mean, there haven't been a ton of games where you sit there and you go, God, this offensive line is getting demolished.
Mm-hmm.
They've done a pretty good job. And I think they found their fit. They found their guys with Nick Jones being at left tackle. And, you know, I think Dollar Bill can fit into the equation next year, maybe at guard, mm-hmm. and slide Stephen Lasoya over to center. I think the offensive line is going to be pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Lasoya moving to center will be a good move. That's a guy who was an underrated transfer pickup, by the way. Underrated portal pickup. People, when he came in, I think people were sort of like, gosh, they really need a left tackle, and who's this guy? And he's you know, when you have a couple injuries, you put him in the starting lineup, and he turned into a really good offensive lineman for you. So you didn't miss anything. And the depth they're going to have there next year, you know, Cole Smith, Dollar Bill, Lasoya, Reese, I mean, Jones out there on the outside. I mean, they're just,
yeah,
you've got seven guys who played a lot of minutes already, a lot of snaps.
And then Percy Lewis.
Yeah, Percy Lewis, yeah.
What happens with him? So there's several options for you on the offensive line, and those are good options.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, the portal is still there for you. If you decide you want to go get another guy. We didn't mention Cannon Boone either, who's a guy, you know, missed a lot of this year with injury, but I think he's a guy that, you know, that they expect to see something from next year. Maybe Jackson LaRue as well. LaHue, I'm sorry. To get some, you know, to start making his way up the depth chart a little bit. So it's exciting, all right? And then there's Will Rogers, who is – it's hard to believe we're going to say this about a guy who's going to be in his fourth season as a starter, but he's kind of the question mark, right? It's how good can he be? If you can get 2021 Will Rogers, you can win 9 games easily. You could probably win 10. If you get 2022 Will Rogers, it's going to be tough, especially if you get 2022 Will Rogers from Kentucky on. Going to be tough to win. You know, you're going to have to kind of win in spite of him, and then this offense is very, very tough.
Yeah. No, there's no question. He's got to play better. He's got to be better than what he's been down the stretch. And I'm not like a lot of people. I think there's potential for him to be better because we've seen it in 2021, and we've seen pieces of it this year of him being even better than he was in 2021. It's just, for whatever reason, something happened late in the year and the offense just wasn't the same. And I tend to think a lot of it had to do with the fact that they were just putting too much pressure. And he's part of the problem with that because he makes calls, he makes checks, things like that. He's putting too much pressure on himself to be the guy to run all the offense through him. There's a lot of pressure that he can take off by running the football and giving Mississippi State that option there and open up the passing game. So he's got to be able to see the field better. He's got to be able to read the defenses better. If he does that, I think State has a chance for a special year because all the pieces are there.
He definitely has the weapons around him. He should have the protection. It's going to be on him. You know, it's going to be on him. It's not even about taking a step forward as much as it's just getting back to where you were. You know, again, the guy you saw in 2021 who threw for 4,000 plus yards, those numbers are way good enough easily good enough to win 9 games on this upcoming schedule if everything else pans out for you. The guy you saw this year, especially like I said, in the last half of the season, that guy's not good enough. And I think Will Rogers, the good thing is, I think Will Rogers knows that, and Mike Leach knows that, and that they're going to spend their offseason looking at what worked and what didn't. I think we keep talking about it, and I feel like when Leach runs the ball a lot, I almost feel like he's doing it like he's gritting his teeth, right? He's just like, I can't believe we're running the ball this much. I hate it. But it works. It works. And if you have Johnson and Marks back, and even if you do lose one of them, Simeon Price has shown you he can do plenty, and you're bringing in a JUCO running back as well, so you would expect him to be able to come in and give you something immediately. It just feels like the offense is ready to take another step forward. It's going to be on Will Rogers to go with it. You know, everybody else can bring him forward. He's got to go with them.
Yeah, and there's not a whole lot. I don't think there's a whole lot of transfer portal pieces you have to add to this offense, unless it's just like a guy that you just can't pass on.
Right.
And
it's receivers where I would look.
Yeah, getting an impact receiver. I wouldn't go get a project receiver.
No.
I would just develop the guys that you already have. If it's a dude that hadn't really proven anything, but if it's a guy that's group of five guy that's an All American,
yeah,
an FCS All American that is a no doubt fit for this offense, you go get him.
Yeah,
but I'm not going out there and getting a Justin Robinson this year.
That's what you did last year because you had enough proven guys. This year,
Jordan Mosley, like, you don't need those guys this year. You have enough pieces. You should develop your players you got.
Develop your players unless you got a can't-miss guy. Absolutely agree. Same on the offense.
And you're bringing in some really good offensive pieces at wide receiver in this class.
Yeah. And same with the offensive line, I think. You know, you're good there. You want to get a depth piece, that's fine.
Running back, do not need a transfer portal guy. Running back, no.
And then quarterback, I mean, we've talked about it. I think State should explore it, but I understand why it's going to be a difficult process to get one in.
Yeah.
Because on the surface, and that's what, you know, these guys, for the most part, they're just looking on the surface, right? They look at the depth chart and they're like, okay, this guy has started 30-plus games. He's rewritten their record book. What chance do I have there? You know, he's not watching the film and saying, oh, well, if they had a mobile guy like me, they could, you know, that's on Leach to try to sell him on that, whoever this person, this mysterious transfer portal quarterback might be. That's going to be a tough sell, so we'll see. Let's talk about the defense, but first, we'll move on into that thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it's what's for dinner. It's cold now outside. It was warm yesterday when we were all trying to survive the tornadoes, but today, back to normal on the winter weather. That means it's time to break out the Dutch oven and make a big pot of chili, a big pot of beef stew, big pot of taco soup. All of those are great ideas to keep the family healthy and happy. And they start with beef. So head to your grocery stores this weekend, load up on the red meat, and make a delicious meal for your family. If you're looking for recipes, you can find them at msbeef.org. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find smoked Southern soul food. Whenever you're in Starkville, if you're up here for basketball, if you're up here for shopping or whatever it is, Two Brothers is always a stop that you want to make. So head over there to the heart of the Cotton District, order a plate of smoked wings, order some tacos and sandwiches, and have a great meal. Literally every time you're at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Great products and great service is something we all like to get from our businesses. I mean, people always like to promise it to you. But Advantage Business Systems is one of those that delivers it to you. And they have for 47 years. When your business needs technology, you call Advantage Business Systems for that copier, that printer, new computers, new laptops. And then when you need service, you get to talk to the people who made you the sale. You're not talking to a call center from God knows where or an out-of-state consultant who's going to be there in 7 to 10 business days. No, you're talking to somebody here in the state of Mississippi. That's the difference Advantage Business Systems makes. Their number is 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. You can find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. It's almost Christmas, guys. We are 24 days away from everybody opening presents under the tree. For Dad, he wants a new polo. He wants something new to wear to the games, and he doesn't want the three-stripe life. He wants something from the collegiate collection at The Rogue. So go to The Rogue there in Jackson. You know where it is. They've been there for years. Or you can shop online at therogue.com and check out their collegiate collection, their collection of polos and quarter zips with the logos that dad wants. The walking bully, the state script, the M over S, they've got them at The Rogue. Don't live the three-stripe life. Shop at The Rogue. When we look at the defense, a little different there. There's some guys you're losing, right? You're losing Cam Young. He's moving on to the next level. Emmanuel Forbes, going to easily be a day two draft choice. He'll move on. I would be beyond surprised if Emmanuel Forbes was back in Starkville for another season. After that, you've got some guys who are potentially coming back. Nathan Pickering has already announced he will come back. Jet Johnson has already announced he will be back. You lose Jalen Green and Jackie Matthews in the secondary. Got to find some guys at the safety position. But by and large, you return a number of starters here, and possibly a couple of more could come back.
Exactly. There's still some rumblings in the air, so to speak, that Mississippi State could get a couple of big defensive pieces back. Not a done deal by any means, but I'm hearing that it's not over with Bookie Watson. I think there's still a chance that he can get back for another season. They're still trying to get Jaden Crumity back. I think both of those guys coming back would be huge. Even one of them coming back would be huge.
Yeah.
But Bookie Watson, who leads the SEC in tackles, that's immediately one of the best defenders in the SEC returning for you next year. And then Jaden Crumity got not even half of a season in with the state. That would be a huge boost for that
when
defensive
you
line.
Because State's defense with him versus without him, the difference is really, really noticeable how much better they were this year when he got back in the starting lineup.
Yeah, I didn't give him enough credit preseason. I thought he was injured, I thought State would have the depth up front to sustain losing him, but they didn't. They didn't have near the depth that they really showed preseason. He was obviously a huge piece missing for them. And getting him back, that defensive line and the defense as a whole was completely different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, without him in that Egg Bowl, they don't have the kind of game defensively that they had. And it's not his numbers that's really going to jump off the page at you, but he frees up so much for everybody else. He's so good at just opening things up for everybody else. I mean, he had three tackles. He's got 11 tackles in four games.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got 3.5 tackles for loss, and he had a tackle and a half for loss against Ole Miss. So he's a guy that can really plug up a run game. He can also push an offensive line back and free up some space for the defense. So him coming back would just be huge for that defensive front, because they're going to lose a few guys this year. You know, Tyrus Wheat's going to be a big loss. I think Jackie Matthews in the back end is going to be a big loss. Jalen Green was playing really well down the stretch. Of course, Emmanuel Forbes. So you have some pieces to replace. There's some guys coming in that I think are going to help you, and there's some guys underneath that are going to step in and have their chances as well. But you also got to come to go to the transfer portal and get a few pieces. I think a speed rusher, edge rusher is a real priority in this class.
Mm-hmm.
I think safety. Another safety or two is big. So there's some pieces you got to fill.
Feels like it's safety. A couple of guys that came out of the portal last year could be big players too, for Hunter Washington, Jordan Morant. And then a guy that we talked about a lot in fall camp but didn't really make the jump we thought he would was Corey Ellington. Those are three guys who I think Mississippi State is going to try to count on, and we'll see what they can do in the spring.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I thought Ellington was going to play a bigger part on this team. I think one thing that State's got to do a better job of next year is rotations. The defense was just kind of gassed late in the year, and late in games. I thought they did a pretty solid job in that Ole Miss game, staying pretty much fresh for most of the game. The last possession, they were kind of wearing down a little bit. But, you know, this next year could be a big opportunity for guys like Hunter Washington, Corey Ellington in the back end, because you're losing Jalen Green and Jackie Matthews. I think Colin Duncan's going to be back. I think Sean Preston's going to be back.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those guys could really take a step.
We had not mentioned Colin Duncan as another potential returner, yeah.
Yeah, and then you got, you know, Marcus Banks and DeCarlos Nicholson. So the secondary has a chance to take a step, but it's going to take everybody kind of moving forward and getting better. And I think the rotations is a real big thing for me.
You need somebody to take a big step forward because you've gotten kind of spoiled these past few years with Martin Emerson and Emmanuel Forbes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got to have a guy who steps up and becomes a no fly zone on that side, on one side of the field. So hopefully that can be the case. But if State gets those guys up,
hopefully DeCam can be that next.
I thought Richardson this year was good. I not great, nothing stand out, but he was okay. And for his first year as a starter, I'll take that. And you hope that next year he grows into a good cornerback.
Yeah, because you have a chance to stack here corners, legit corners back to back to back. Because you had Dantzler. Mm-hmm. And Dantzler left. Martin Emerson stepped up.
Mm-hmm.
Emerson left. Forbes stepped up. Forbes is leaving. Now you need DeCam to step up, or Marcus Banks, or DeCarlos Nicholson, or whoever.
Mm-hmm.
The next guy up, because State is now starting to put some serious cornerback talent in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And that's spanned three coaching hires now, with Dan Mullen and then Jeb Moorhead, and now Mike Leach. These cornerback coaches hadn't really mattered who's in here. They've been producing corners. So State's starting to become kind of a not really DBU. I think, you know, Alabama and LSU is going to be up there with that, but they're in that next tier, I think.
Do you think State goes back into the portal for a kicker, both Biscardi and Rayburn out?
I feel like you have to, right? Mm-hmm. I mean,
they like this kid. Is it Kyle Ferry? Is that his name? Come in. Yeah. But I mean, that's a lot of pressure on a true freshman.
A lot of pressure on a true freshman. But, you know, sometimes you can get away with having a walk-on out there. You just need somebody that's going to get the job done. And if they don't feel confident in whoever they have in place next year, then they're going to have to go get a scholarship guy. I thought Massimo was really solid late in the year. They put him in a couple positions that he couldn't win,
mm-hmm.
With the length of the field goal.
Mm-hmm.
But accuracy, he had no issues down the stretch.
Yeah.
They need somebody that's going to be a bona fide guy that's going to be able to handle those situations, because that can win and lose you games.
No question. And then from a return game standpoint, Tulu back, Xavion back, locked in, no issues there. Field position should continue to be a plus for Mississippi State on both the punt and the kickoff. You know, they've got guys who are game breakers there. So that's very exciting. Again, you know, we talk about Mike Leach and the system and the progression, and that's kind of what he's been about his entire career, is building. You know, and people were making a lot of, you know, jokes this season about, you know, year four is going to be the year. Well, year four has a great chance to actually be a year for Mississippi State. Again, this should be the up year in the cycle. Now, let's go ahead and brace yourself. 2024 should be a down year. That should be a year where it's going to be tough to get to seven, I would think, just looking at it off the top of my head.
Well, it should be, but with the transfer portal now, if you play it right.
You're right.
You don't have to have a rebuilding year.
You don't have to, but just losing Rodgers, losing that experience at quarterback, losing what you're going to lose in the backfield, you got a lot of guys to get. Looking at the schedule, I mean, your home game, your East home game that year is Tennessee, which is a program I think we would all say is on the rise. You're at Arizona State that year. I mean, Arizona State, new coach there. Feel like that program will get going in the right direction. They're going to be a tough opponent regardless. We'll just put it that way. 2024 could be a year where, you know, you might be 7-5 and take a little bit of a step back as you reset from the Rodgers era. But 2023, this is the up year. This is the year Mississippi State should have great national success. If they win this bowl game, they should be preseason, you know, top 20, maybe even top 15, to be totally honest with you. They should be. They should get some respect in the national and the local media. We won't hold our breath for that, but we'll see what happens. I think this is going to be a fun year coming up for Mississippi State. And, of course, there's one more game left in this season, and that could be, you know, if State goes 9 wins this year, it can go 9 with 10 with a bowl next year. I mean, that's a great stretch, as good as Mississippi State's ever had. They had it in 2014, 2015. 1998, 99, you won 17. And, of course, that's back when you only played 11. this could be right up there with the, you know, the best stretches in MSU history if State can find a way to get it done next season. So we shall see. Anything else you want to talk about on a Wednesday? Is that it? I think we're done. And I'm spent. All right.
And I'm spent. Yeah. It's about time to hit the old dusty trail.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back tomorrow with some more MSU talk for you. Until then, for Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning, all in Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.